Chapter 35. My Perfect Match. Once more the inhabitants of Padawai gathered to watch the fate of one of their own play before them. This time, however, a mortal was present among them. The sky was darkened, and the pool at the center of the clearing of pines and oaks reflected scenes of a far-off battle. Juliana Archon huddled at the side of the shepherdess of pictures, hugging her knees to her chest. It was surreal, all of it. She was surrounded by beings whose total age rivaled the stars in the sky, who had personally known the gods, who watched beside her in horrified fascination as one of their own was put to flight by Kairos and his ravenous source. Juliana cried out in anguish at the destruction of the palace courtyard in Cadrus. Her family had been among those in attendance. Her parents had to have been there. She knew not whether her sisters or cousins had arrived from their far-flung corners of the empire.
"I am sorry, child," Iliardra said at her shoulder.
Juliana turned and saw the ageless compassion in the demon's eyes. She murmured a thank you and returned her gaze to the pool. She watched with spiteful glee as Kairos, showing a pitiless determination that she had wondered if he possessed, ground Roshan between chunks of the palace wall. Roshan was getting his comeuppance at last. When they both disappeared into transference spheres, the immortal viewers lost them briefly. Iliardra found them a moment later in the streets of Cadrus.
Kairos burned down a whole district before forcing Roshan to flee once more.
Great splashes of water left in their place. Iliardra was again able to locate Kairos and Roshan, deep beneath Cadrus Harbor. Juliana watched as Kairos struggled for breath, Roshan slashing at him over and over. She reached out and grabbed Iliardra by the arm.
"You have to save him. Please, just..."
And then they were gone once more.
"Child, we will not interfere," Iliardra told her.
Juliana felt the shock in the ether as Kairos emerged from his transference spell. It had come from nearby. She moved to stand, but it was Iliardra's turn to take her by the arm.
"No, they are not so close as you might think," said Iliardra.
She gestured to the pond once more, where Kairos was facing down Roshan somewhere in Padawai.
"The forest is vaster than you realize."
They stayed not long in the elder wood, but disappeared once more, shaking the ether yet again. Iliardra found them on a mountaintop in the cloud wall. The gathered immortals watched as their chosen champion was nearly defeated. There were gasps and mutterings when Kairos broke Roshan's immortal source and extorted the secret of the immortals from him. They gaped when Kairos killed him anyway.
"Talax," Iliardra whispered.
She had uttered it so softly that Juliana suspected she was not meant to hear it. Juliana watched in the glassy water as Kairos took a moment to gather himself. He picked up Heaven's Cry and examined it. Juliana saw that it was blackened and scorched, but could not tell whether anything else was amiss with it. Kairos tucked it into his belt, the sheath having been reduced to cinders by Kairos's hurled fire.
"Disperse, all of you," Iliardra shouted. "He will come."
Brannis groaned. Soria brushed sweat-soaked hair from his brow. He opened his eyes, looking up at her in the faded light of the crescent moon.
"I have a plan."
Moments later, in Padawai Wood, Kairos appeared in the air as his transference spell delivered him safely from the mountaintop. He floated gently to the ground, taking his time to avoid hurling chunks of earth halfway across Vaedrus. Juliana rushed into his arms and crushed him in a hug.
"It is done. Roshan Solaran is dead," Kairos said.
He extracted himself from Juliana's embrace and pulled Heaven's Cry from his belt, holding it forth as proof. "I left his body on some unnamed rock in the Cloudwall mountain range."
"That mountain has had 14 names I am aware of," Iliardra corrected him. "Cadran cartographers would call it Flat Peak Mountain. Roshan no doubt chose it as his final stand for the plateaued peak upon which to battle."
Kairos swallowed.
"You saw that?"
Iliardra clasped her hands.
"Yes, we did." "It's fine, Kairos. You don't need to be ashamed of lying to that monster,"
Juliana assured him.
I won't tell anyone either.
You saw too, Kairos began. He hung his head. What right do I have to name him the monster? I won my victory, but at what cost?
Tears rimmed Juliana's eyes. Kairos knew what he had done. He pulled her close and let her sob against his shoulder.
I'm so sorry, he spoke softly into her ear.
Time paused, it seemed, until Juliana had wept her most immediate sorrows onto Kairos's tunic.
She then pushed him back.
Kairos, Juliana said, sniffing to hold back further tears. We have to hurry. We can't just stand here.
Kairos nodded. Iliardra, if you were listening, you know Rashan told me you have a portal here that can take me to Tellurak. My twin is dying. I intend to save him. Will you help me?
A horse has escaped your stable, Iliardra replied. Would you then build a wall around the kingdom, lest it flee abroad? Would you build that wall high, lest it leap? Top it with spikes in case it learned to climb? Construct a dome on the chance it might fly. You have a small problem with a horse. You do not need to undertake such a remedy to resolve it. Let the horse go free.
This is not about a horse. This is me. This is my twin, my other half, Kairos spouted. I haven't the time to argue. Will you help me or won't you?
We will not.
Juliana's twin told me that you would sooner destroy the gate than see me use it. Would you, truly?
Yes.
Then destroy it, Kairos said. If you will not let me through to Tellurak because you fear what I might become, destroy it, lest I find some clever way past you, or some future sorcerer becomes just as great a threat.
Why would you have us sunder a gift from the gods? Iliardra asked. If you know we would destroy it if you attempt to use it, why would you force our hand?
Kairos gritted his teeth and measured his breaths as he studied the inscrutable old demon. He suspected he could not beat her at chess, but crackle was a game of nerve.
Fine, Kairos relented. Bring Juliana's ship here and we will leave by it. I find my source is a bit battered at the moment to try another transference spell, and I have no desire to remain here.
Kairos, how can you give up so easily?
Juliana protested. Convincingly, Kairos thought. I cannot stop them destroying the portal, Kairos reasoned. All I can do is force them to ruin something given to this world by the gods. It would be vain of me to do so.
But
it will be all right. Just stay by Brannis in his final hours, Kairos said. To Iliardra, he added, Bring the ship. I would prefer us to be alone, without curious eyes intruding on our grief.
Very well, said Iliardra. She vanished, and all Kairos felt was a tingling in the ether. I wish I knew how she did that, Juliana said.
Patience, Kairos whispered in her ear.
A moment later, Iliardra appeared again, with the starlit marauder bobbing in midair beside her. The runes glowed, but dimly, in the ether.
Will this get us back to Kairos? Kairos asked.
I know little of the workings of your contraption, Iliardra replied. It will get you away from this place. I suppose I need not tell you that neither of you are welcome back. Juliana, I am sorry for the tragedy to which you return.
Juliana hung her head.
Understood, Kairos replied. Come on, Juliana, let's go home.
Just don't say anything, Brannis warned. We want to be sure that if they are watching, they have no time to react to stop us.
He lay on the rocky stream bed, eyes closed. The pained look on his face was the only sign he was awake when he was not speaking.
This is crazy, Soria told him. You know that, right?
You don't have to come.
Of course I do.
Then steer us between those oaks and hold tight.
They were sailing the skies just above the treetops, still within the borders of the Elder Forest. Kairos walked to the prow of the starlit marauder and set his hands on the railing, leaning out to look down to the forest below. With a turn and a nod to Juliana, the ship descended amid the canopy. Leaves and smaller branches brushed the ship, the latter scraping along the hull or snapping. Kairos's shielding spell bore a blow here and there,
but it was the lightest duty the spell had seen all morning. The old trees grew close, but only in relation to their scale. The trunks were far enough apart in places that a spear could not be hurled from one to the next. The branches, however, intermingled in the upper reaches. Kairos raised a hand, and Juliana stopped the ship's slow drift. Reaching up, Kairos grabbed branches from two separate trees, each no larger than a finger.
"Hold tight," he called back to Juliana.
With a great pull, Kairos drew forth directly from the sources of the majestic oaks, draining them, but not quite dry. An instant later, Kairos used the immense well of ether to envelop the starlit marauder in a transference sphere, the size he had never before dared attempt. The ship and her crew of two reckless twinborn leapt into the deep ether. There was no sense of ship, no Juliana, just as there had been no Rashan when he brought the demon along, as Kairos began his journey. The lightness he had always felt during transference now carried with it a subtle heft. He doubted the weight of the ship was the issue, since he had transferred with whole spheres of water and never noticed the effect. The size of the sphere was what sucked at his source, demanding more ether than he had ever required before. There was no time for delays, either for Brannis or for Kairos's source. Kairos wondered briefly at the damage he might be causing the Elder Forest as he increased his draw. He set a simple heading, up. Though his bodiless form reacted sluggishly, he increased his speed, approaching the dizzying velocities that he had achieved on his trip from Tellurak to Vaedrus. He shot out of the sea of sources that made up Vaedrus, and into the empty depths beyond. Kairos could not close his eyes. He had none to close. Instead, he approximated that mental state that accompanies an attempt to sleep. He let his thinking mind grow dull and weary, and let feeling guide him. He intuited a change in course, but knew not whether it was only a few degrees or they had come full circle. They were beyond sight of the distant well of ether they had started from,
caught out in the nothingness.
But it was not quite nothingness. Kairos's ether vision had been stretched and strengthened during his time among the sorcerers of Vaedrus. He had grown accustomed to its look, its subtleties. He noticed something that, amid all the swirls of the Vaedran ether, had long gone unnoticed. A thin filament of ether wended its way off toward the infinity into which he stared. It was tied at one end to his own source. The other end was somewhere out there, and they followed along its course.
Brannis, this is the thread that connects us. I must have felt it on my first journey between worlds and followed it.
The realization firmed his confidence. Kairos renewed his efforts to propel them, sure of his course. They hurtled through the deep ether, the near void, for how long Kairos could not say. He felt the weariness creeping over him. He felt the emptiness inside once more, as he had when he fought Rashan. His source had not much left to give him. There was no horizon in the ether, but Kairos saw in the distance a knot of blue-white. He hoped they would make it. The little world inside the sphere of ether shook. Juliana cowered behind the captain's wheel, holding fast to the lower grips and to her source. Whatever Kairos was doing was tearing at it, threatening to rip it out entirely. She felt the gale of ether passing into the sphere from the outside.
"Kairos, you blazing idiot! You're going to kill me before we get there!"
But before her prediction could come true, the sphere vanished. She had never been inside one when a transference spell ended, but the shockwave felt far worse inside the ether than it had as a mere witness to the transfer. Their arrival was met with the scent of briny air and the sensation of falling. The starlit marauder tumbled down. It was nighttime, and the sky was clear but for a few clouds.
"Kairos!"
Juliana screamed. She saw the exhausted sorcerer slumped over the prow, feet drifting up from the deck as they fell free. She enacted a shielding spell for herself and tossed Kairos away from the ship with a telekinetic push.
"Please let us be at sea and not over a port. Please, Tansha, this is the last thing I'll ask. Please, just let us be over water."
They hit with a splash,
and an impact that drove Juliana against the deck. As soon as the worst of the subsequent bobbing stopped, she unbuckled the captain's harness and dove over the side. She plunged into what she could only guess was the Katamic Sea. She could fathom no reason why Kairos would not have brought them straight to Brannis and Soria, other than him being unable to. The surface of the water marked the border crossing into a world of darkness. Juliana switched to ether and spotted Kairos immediately. She was a passable swimmer, not prone to frequent diving rescues, but neither was Kairos particularly difficult to tow to the surface once he was found. Even a small tug of ether went a long way to achieving buoyancy. They broke the surface, Juliana gasping for air, Kairos sputtering and coughing out water. Either the plunge or the impact with the water had awakened him.
"Kairos," Juliana shouted. "We made it."
She hugged him, still treading water.
"Wonderful," Kairos replied.
He coughed and tried to point.
"Now let's stop the sinking."
Juliana turned. The starlit marauder was never built to float. Fashioned in the shape of a ship's hull, it had aero slits and landing ramps that were not quite sealed to shipwright standards. It was filling with water, and the Katamic was threatening to take it from them. The ship listed to one side, dipping a railing into the water. Juliana swam to it and climbed aboard.
"Come on, hurry,"
she shouted back to Kairos, who was either the worst swimmer a fishing town had ever produced, or was just too exhausted to move more quickly.
"Right there,"
Kairos muttered, just loudly enough that Juliana could make out the last bit. She helped drag the weary sorcerer aboard and boosted him onto a deck that was nearer to being a wall than a floor as they sank. Kairos grabbed the edge of the stairway to the hold and climbed into the bowels of the ship. Juliana balanced on the ship's rail as it drifted below the water's surface and leapt to catch the ship's wheel. Unlike on most ships, the starlit marauder's wheel was fixed in place. She used it to climb up and struggle into the harness. The ship hummed and throbbed, but slowly began to obey her commands. The starlit marauder lifted out of the Katamic, pouring water like a decorative fountain better suited to palace courtyards than to the sea.
"Kairos, we made it!"
Juliana cheered. There was no response from below.
"Kairos?"
she called down.
"Kairos!"
She shouted into the runes that bellowed her voice into the hold.
Brannis stirred. "He's fine. Just let him rest. Bring him here."
Soria nodded her head in reply, though Brannis' eyes remained closed. Kairos awakened to a kiss.
He put his arms around Juliana before even fully waking,
pulling her close.
"Time enough for that later, lay abed,"
Juliana said, pushing free of him.
"We're here."
Kairos looked around. He was lying in the corridor of the starlit marauder, soaking in nearly a hand's depth of water. He sat up, sopping wet clothes clinging to him, along with the overpowering scent of saltwater musk. He took Juliana's offered hand, and she helped him to his feet.
"How long?"
"It's nearly daybreak," Juliana answered before he could finish.
"Move!"
Kairos hurried as best he could. It was a strange feeling, like traveling in time. With Brannis asleep, his mind had gone blank. It had seemed just a moment ago that he had...
Wait, is Brannis asleep?
A cold fear settled within Kairos, unrelated to the wind or his wet clothing. He tried to relax and see through Brannis' eyes, but either the relaxation or Brannis' mind eluded him. He closed his eyes, but Tellurak had too much ambient ether for him to see the thread that tied him to Brannis. Kairos' foot caught something his ether vision did not see, and he stumbled. Juliana's arm around him was the only thing that kept him from falling face first onto the floor.
"Watch where you're going,"
Juliana scolded. Kairos followed her down the ramp and onto the rocky bank of a stream. His eyes seemed to have been cast afar. He saw himself lying on his back, eyes closed, draped under Soria's tunic. Soria he recognized,
but with Juliana's arm wrapped about his shoulders,
it was hard to reconcile her presence. Soria was wearing just her chest wrap, despite the coolness of the lingering night air, She stared at them with disbelieving eyes.
How am I? Is he?
Kairos asked.
Not good. He's barely breathing,
Soria replied.
This is weird, Juliana whispered.
I know,
Soria replied, though she could not possibly have overheard.
Just do this, quickly.
Kairos stumbled along the rocks, trying to make it on his own, but having to rely on Juliana instead. When they finally reached Brannis and Soria, Kairos collapsed to his knees next to his twin.
No, not much of a source at all, is it?
Soria asked, watching him look Brannis over.
No, maybe not, but it's all the source we need.
Kairos took Brannis' hand in both of his. It was crusted with dried blood, and a bit larger than his own, calloused and thickened by rigorous use.
Is this murder? Is this suicide? Is it something completely unique?
Kairos contemplated his charted course.
If it works, what then?
He had not stopped to think about tomorrow, or aftermorrow. The quest so consumed his today that it seemed presumptuous to consider beyond it. He turned to look at Soria and Juliana, eyeing one another with childlike perplexity, as if seeing a mirror or their reflections in the water for the first time.
Two of them?
Kairos shook his head ever so slightly, lest they notice it.
It will be worse than Tipu and Kali vying for my attentions. And yet, in 40 or 50 years, they will be old ladies, and I'll still be as young as ever.
Brannis winced in pain and gasped for breath. Kairos felt a sympathetic pang of his own.
I did not come all this way to let Brannis die.
He placed a hand on Brannis's chest. He drew. Brannis cried out, a brief strangled yelp, and convulsed. After that, he was still. Kairos felt the weakened whiff of a source wrap around his like a cloak. It fitted in, tucked around, and blended together, as if it was always meant to be there.
Brannis!
Soria and Juliana cried out in unison. They each turned to look at each other at the same moment, crinkling their noses in the same little frown. I'm fine, Kairos said.
Am I?
What about Brannis, though?
Soria and Juliana demanded. They exchanged a mirrored glare. I said I'm fine, Kairos replied. A quick exchange of looks and glares passed between Juliana and her twin. Juliana was the one who spoke.
Then what about Kairos?
I'm right here, Kairos said.
Brannis said?
Perhaps both said.
I see,
Juliana and Soria replied.
I guess you were more right than you even realized, Soria, when you said that you and Juliana were one in the same, Kairos said.
How do you feel?
Soria asked.
You don't look tired any longer,
Juliana added. The two looked at one another and gave identical, satisfied nods.
I feel fresh, new, reborn. I think I need a new age day. Can you see my source in the ether?
No,
they both replied. You two need to figure out a system, Kairos said. That's going to get annoying. Soria and Juliana got wicked gleams in their eyes. They turned toward one another. Kairos felt the ether snap toward them, two points of attraction vying for supremacy.
A draw, really? Is that any way to settle the whole talking privilege thing?
Kairos asked, exasperated at the juvenile display. The two sorceresses, Tejuan Sun and Sixth Circle, ignored him. Kairos stepped back, waiting for them to play out their foolishness, and resisted the urge to stop them. He watched the contest. Their draws were more evenly matched than their sources would have suggested. It seemed a matter they were determined to settle for themselves. But Kairos began to wonder if perhaps he ought to be acting as judge. Hold, Kairos called, since force of draw seemed not decisive enough to end the contest. Both of them ignored him. Hold, I said. They continued to draw.
Blast it! Hold, both of you!
Soria collapsed. Kairos caught her with magic before she fell onto the rocks and smashed her skull. But then he noticed. Juliana's source sealed itself closed, with the stolen ether from Soria's.
What did you do?
Kairos shouted, aghast.
You murdered Soria.
You just murdered Brennus, then, Juliana replied.
No, I saved him. He was dying. Soria was
dying too, just a lot slower. You think I was going to let you wander off into eternity alone? You'd get bored.
But
you had your plan, I had mine, Juliana said. I didn't want you trying to become an immortal because I thought I'd lose you. As soon as I realized I could join you, I knew I had to try.
Kairos turned away from the bodies. I can't even look at them.
Us, Juliana corrected.
I remember everything, right up until I tugged my own source loose, Kairos said. Then I stopped feeling the pain in my gut, the little aches and hurts from combat. I can't tell where Brennus ends and Kairos begins.
I never used to worry about the difference, and I'm not going to start now.
Kairos looked down to where Brennus lay. I know what you mean. I wish I could have ended up in that body instead. It's a far sight more useful than this one.
So what? We're immortals. Do you think Iliardra or Roshan kept the bodies they were born with?
This doesn't mean I'm going to turn out like Roshan.
I never believed that you would.
Talax either, Kairos said. I'm done meddling in kingdoms. I'm not going to be the constable, judge, and jailer for the world. I don't even know that I could find my way back to Vaedrus.
Why not?
I followed the link between Kairos and Brennus, Kairos said, still unsure which would have been I had he used just one of the names.
You could find it an easy thing to rule Tellurac, Juliana teased, but Kairos shook his head.
No, there's no rush to decide. We need time to think, time to sort out our affairs. So many things awry left to be put right. Kairos's eyes widened.
Abilene and Thomas.
They probably saw the ship, Juliana mused.
No point in making us all walk to a port now.
We can't possibly show them.
Why not? Juliana asked. What are you afraid of? That no one will believe them? Another witch trial? I think we're pretty well done with worrying about things.
Abilene gawked up at the starlit marauder,
walking in a dream.
Thomas was only slightly less overwhelmed. They concocted a convenient lie to cover Rakashi's betrayal and death, which Thomas and Abilene swallowed whole, along with hook and line, in light of the wonders before them. That Kairos looked thinner in his armor than Brennus looked without it passed without comment. Juliana's daggers might well have been broadswords instead of dragon teeth, for all the notice the Icardian took.
I knew magic was real, Thomas said in a breathless whisper. But not this real.
This is wonderful, Abile said. We're going on a flying ship?
Indeed, Kairos confirmed. Come on, time to take you home.